Amen. God is good. Oh, thank you. Thank you, worship team. At Mosaic House Church, we love to grow. Our hope is to grow deep and wide in Jesus our Lord through worship and through Scripture. And before we dismiss the children, we get to memorize Scripture together. So every week we memorize one or two verses. You guys remember last week's? It's Romans. Oh, thanks for being honest. Romans 12:5. We could do it together. Anybody? That's the blanks. Anybody know what the O is? To all the others. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. What the C is? Yes. Okay. How about the F? Yes. For one another. And the, or, how about the M? Many. Yes, yes. Okay. Let's try. You think we could do it? We'll do it together, okay? Okay, we'll say the Romans 12:5, and then we'll say the verse in Romans 12:5, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 5. In Christ, we though many, for one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Great job, everybody. The next one for this week, this is an easy one, okay? This is Romans chapter 12, verse 21. This is for this week. We could do it. This is a rumor. We're going to have a Bible quiz during a service with a great prize. It's a treasure in heaven. No, I'm trying. That too, yes, that too. But also, something nice. The point of it, not to get the prizes, but the point is you're closer to Jesus through his word. So let's say it together. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. All right, children, you are dismissed. We're doing our series on Transformed, and if you have any questions, you can text this number. MJ, if you could put the text on there. You can text this number, and we'll do our best to answer it, either in service or online. I'm from a small town, Kinsella, Alberta. Anybody heard about that town before? Kinsella? Okay, a few people. And my grandparents are in the Philippines, and I love them, but they don't speak English. They can't even speak the national language. They have their own dialect. And my father was an orphan at 15 years old, so we didn't really have connection much to our grandparents. But in the small town of Kinsella, we had adopted grandparents. There was a few of them. We had a really nice little country church there. And one of our adopted grandparents, we called him Papa Jim. He was a pretty, I'd say pretty good country and Western, country gospel more, singer. And he also had a place called, with his wife, called the Funny Farm. And every year they have a whole bunch of sheep, goats, chickens, rabbits. They would bring kids in to enjoy the farm. And one day he was driving home from an auction. I think he just sold some goats. And he was driving home. And at the same time this was happening, one of my high school friends in my class was drinking at a local bar, or the only bar in Kinsella. And he drank way too much. And he got in his car, and he drove, and I drove with him before. He drives fast on a regular day. I think he's going about 200 kilometers, they think. And as he was going home, my grandpa was driving with the trailer and turning onto Highway 14 from Highway 26, and they both died. And they were relatives. They were related to each other. And it was really, really hard. Really, really hard. And we weren't part of the family officially, but one of his sons married a Filipino, and they had half-fees, half-Filipinos like us. We were close to them. And our grandma asked us to help with the funeral as well as this dinner service just for family. And they asked us, we want you to be there, but can you help us out? And there was a few other Filipinos there, part of the community. Can you help us make the food and serve it? And we were more than happy to do that. I remember we were working hard, serving, and we just had our own plate after everybody ate. We sat down and we're about to eat with a few Filipinos on the table. And then I saw, one of the sons, another son of Grandpa, come up to our grandma and say very loudly, "What are the Filipinos doing here?" And all of the table looked at each other and were like, it hurt. I think it hurt more than losing my grandpa. Because I felt like I didn't belong here. That he wasn't really my grandpa. That we're second rate compared to the family. Now, have you ever felt like that? That kind of great, what the Bible calls, affliction. Have you ever had a hard time in your life and you just didn't know how to deal with it? And did that hard time get worse by somebody persecuting you or hurting you or looking down on you because of who you are? And we're doing a series right now in the book of Romans called Being Transformed Through Affliction. And I love the Bible because it applies to every part of our lives. And even in the most of our intense afflictions, God in Jesus is with us. And even more than with us, he is guiding us, helping us, even transforming us to become something new, something good. So we're going to look at this today. So you have your Bibles. You can turn with me to Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 9. And also, we have sermon notes here. If you want to follow along, the scripture is there. There's a QR code. There should be in front of your chair that you can follow. And you can also read the scripture from there too. So Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 9, hear the word of the Lord. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And can we say this verse together? This is our memory verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, this world has many troubles, and it's really hard. Thank you that your love is sufficient, that you are more than enough, and that you, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, are even here today with us, consoling us, strengthening us, giving us everything we need to keep going and to grow in you. So, Lord, as we enter into your word today, may your love just fill us and overflow us. May you empower us, and may we be filled with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may you use these small words of mine for your great glory today. We pray this in your beautiful and loving name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you want to follow your sermon notes, if you're online, you can click on that too. This is the theme and goal. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. Jesus overcame affliction for our good. so that we can overcome affliction with his good. Jesus has overcome every affliction. He has faced every affliction that has come into our lives. And in his obedience, God transformed him and created in him hope for us. Hope for our good and for our salvation. And the hope we have today is Jesus is alive today with us in our afflictions, helping us every moment, every day to overcome. In verse 12, it says here that we are called to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We're able to do this because Jesus is with us. That same word affliction in this verse, the same word used in John chapter 16, verse 33. This is Jesus speaking to us. He says here, I have told you these things so you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have affliction. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now that word affliction can mean two things, pressure and persecution. And what that kind of means in a few ways is affliction can mean just that pressure you feel from the hard times in life. I felt so much pressure, so much grief when my grandpa passed away. And also another meaning of affliction is persecution. That is somebody harming us because who we are. I also felt persecuted because the son didn't think Filipino should be in the room with him. The Bible addresses both of these things. And we're going to look at two points today. Christ transforms pressure into endurance. And two, Christ transforms persecution into love. Jesus overcame affliction for our good, so that we could overcome affliction with his good. Now let's look at the first point here. Christ transforms pressure into endurance. Have you ever felt pressure on your chest? So much that you can't breathe. Maybe from anxiety, maybe from stress. Have you ever felt the whole world feels like it's on top of you, pressing you down? You're just so overwhelmed, and you don't know if you can take it. This is what pressure or affliction means. Now, the Jewish people believe there are three reasons for suffering or pressure. One is our own sins, our own choices against God. Two is the sins of our family or the community around us. Or three is just the general brokenness of the world, ultimately caused by sin and death. Things we can't really control. And the word pressure refers to all of these kinds of sufferings. Now, the sins of my classmates, family, and also our community, a small town Alberta, alcoholism is a big thing to deal with. And he grew up in that environment, and that contributed to his own struggle with alcohol. And his own personal sin caused the death of my grandpa and caused so much suffering for the community. And also, we live in this broken system infected by sin, which has this sentiment that some people are better than others. Some people, usually the dominant culture, or belong more than others. So this person has kind of absorbed that sinful attitude. And also in life, things just happen which make no sense, which we can't control. Sickness, accidents, natural disasters, economic downturns. This is all related to pressure. And in the face of all this, we are called to be patient in affliction. Now, who here likes waiting? Waiting. Patience. It's hard to wait in line at Tim Hortons, isn't it? But God is telling not only to wait in line, wait in the midst of your pressure. You can write this in your notes. Overcoming sometimes does mean God is going to take away the bad situation and bring you healing, deliverance. Sometimes he does that, and praise God for that. But many often, other times, overcoming usually means patiently going through to the other side, going through affliction to the other side. We see this in the writer of Paul. He was eventually killed by and persecuted and killed by the Romans. And we see this in Jesus. Jesus overcame by going through his affliction. When one of his good friends, Lazarus, died, Jesus did what verse 15 says. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Jesus mourned. Jesus felt his pain. He felt that pressure of grief. And also, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed to his Father, and Lazarus did rise from the dead. Praise God for that. But others, not everybody that he came in contact with rose from the dead. Sometimes God said, yes, I will rise. Sometimes said, not now. And also Jesus, when he faced the greatest pressure of all, going to the cross for our sins, he prayed to his Father for hours, asking for strength. Verse 12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. I was just talking to MJ today. She's doing the visuals. Thank you, MJ. Give a round of applause for MJ. Appreciate it. She's having her first baby. Praise God. But she also has gestational diabetes. And it's been really hard for her. And as we're talking, she kept saying, all I can do is pray. Pray for my body. Pray for my baby. Pray for everybody. That's all I can do. And I see MJ growing in hope and love and in prayer. I see God working in her. As we turn our face to God, in the midst of pressure, God transforms us. Romans chapter 5 is just a few verses down. Puts this so, so clearly. Chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. That's hard to comprehend. We are happy. We are filled with giddiness in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Another word for endurance. Patiently waiting. And perseverance turns to character. And character to hope. As we grow in endurance, as we grow in waiting, we grow in the hope that God is with us in the pressure and that he is transforming us to go to the other side. And because Jesus endured all kinds of affliction, he understands exactly what we are going through, and he can and will help us. Another verse about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's no Bible book named Jesus, sorry. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's all Jesus, I guess. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and has run with perseverance, with endurance, the race marked out for us. This is the idea of going through affliction. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus overcomes affliction for our good, so that we can overcome affliction with his good. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, also talks about the second kind of affliction, persecution, opposition. And this is the second point. You can write this in your notes. Christ transforms persecution into love. Persecution is the idea of affliction caused by other people oppressing and hurting us because of part of who we are. And in particular in the Bible, the persecution it talks about is primarily about those who follow Jesus. They're seen as different, seen as strange, seen as weird, and so opposite because they follow Jesus. And people look down on them, persecuted them. And what persecution does is grow love in us. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 4 again. It says, perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. The main type of character quality, the main type of Christ likeness that grows in us is love. Now, going back to Romans 12, the first verse, verse 9, says, love must be sincere. And many commentators believe that this is the thesis statement or main point in this passage. In fact, there are actually no verbs in the original Greek and the rest of this passage. It's almost like the rest of the passage are bullet points on what sincere love looks like. Love is sincere. It's also devoted. It's honorable. It's zealous. It's on fire for God. It's joy, hope, patience, faithfulness, hospitality. And there are many, as you read the scripture, that talk about loving those who persecute and harm you. Verse 14 in particular says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That word bless literally means speak well of, speak blessings, speak good things to them or someone. And we are not only called to be patient in our afflictions, but also patient with those who cause them. That's not easy, is it? You can write this in your notes. Overcoming usually means patiently loving those who afflict you. And that's hard. After that happened with the son of my grandpa, every time we went to family gatherings, I would always ask, is he coming? Is he going to be there? I didn't really, it took a while for me to not be angry. I was just really sad. That's what, I was angry too, but I was really sad. Like, why would you say that? He was hurting, yes, he was grieving, but still, that's not right. So how do we do this? Well, let's go to our memory verse today, Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Let's say it together, just so it gets stuck in our head and deep in our heart. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And there are two ways that we can respond to evil with goodness. The first one, you can write this in your notes. We can overcome evil with good because God is just. When someone does something wrong, God doesn't say, oh, just forgive and forget. Don't even worry about it. Just pretend it didn't happen. No! God is just. He will not let sins who hurt people not be dealt with. And that's why it says in this verse, it is God's to avenge. God will take care of it. Now, many people, maybe in the West, have a hard time thinking, oh, God will take vengeance on someone? What? That doesn't seem very loving. But if you look through Scripture, especially those who have experienced great suffering, great persecution, the only reason they cannot take up arms to fight against the enemy who has killed their loved ones is the fact that God will take care of it. A theologian named Miroslav Volf, he's from where my father's from Croatia. If you know, there was a great war, the Balkan War, a civil war, and 250,000 people died, and 2 million became replaced. How can you just forget that? And he writes this, commenting on this, the practice of nonviolence, that means don't beat up the people who killed your family, friends, requires a belief in divine vengeance. Among your listeners are people whose cities and villages have been first plundered, then burned, and leveled to the ground. Your point to them, we should not retaliate. Why not? I say the only means of prohibiting violence by us is to insist that violence is only legitimate when it comes from God. If God were not angry at injustice and deception and did not make a final end of violence, that God would not be worthy of worship. God is so powerful. God is so good. He can't see injustice just keep happening. And whatever happens in our life, God will bring justice when there is oppression. You know, I wanted to punch the guy in the face, okay? I admit it. But God would do something worse. So I leave it in his hands. And we can overcome impatience because we trust that God would take care of them. But also, as Christ is growing in us, he grows in us love. He grows in us even love for them. You feel, I don't want God to destroy you. I want God to transform you. So I pray for him. Say, Lord, save him. Change him. Because true justice in the Bible is not just punishing the wrongdoer, but it's bringing reconciliation and healing. True justice is me and him becoming family, loving each other. Him, me forgiving him, and him being cleansed of this racist, evil idea. That's true justice. So even though I know God will take care of him, I want God also to take care of him fully, transform him, to pray for him. And we can do this because the second reason we can overcome evil good is, you can write this in your notes, we can overcome evil good because God is good. That's his nature. His nature is love. He wants to save everyone. And Jesus teaches us exactly what sincere love looks like. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to 21, this is our example. This is who Jesus is. He says here, to him, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to God, to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. On the cross, when Jesus was so patient and didn't call an army of angels to destroy all the people, which he could have, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. That isn't sincere love. And Jesus is not only our perfect example, his goodness changes everything. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil good is actually using military language. And in the Bible, it says the greatest evil that we face is not people, but it's the thing, the force that compels people to do evil. The two greatest weapons of mass destruction are sin and death. Spiritual forces which keep us separated from God. And Jesus not only patiently endured evil, he completely overcame and defeated sin and death on the cross. On the cross, our sins were forgiven. The curse of sin now has no power over us. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death itself. Jesus overcame affliction in the finalest sense. He took it away for our good so that we can overcome affliction with his good. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can now overcome affliction. Because his spirit now lives in us, his body, his church. And when it's hard for us to be loving, when we can't be loving, he is our love. When we can't be patient, he is our patience. When we can't do anything, he is doing it for us. And this is most found in community. We're not about individuals following Jesus. That's a part of it. But all the verbs, the everything here is in the plural. It's not just individuals, it's people. That's where the Spirit of Jesus transforms. And a Mosaic house, we meet in the big house here. It's not a jail, but it's the big house, because we call it Mosaic house. We're trying to, nice, anyway. But also we meet in house churches during the week where we together are joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We do life together, we eat together, we support each other. That's where the Spirit of Jesus is with us. Jesus overcame affliction for our good so that we can overcome affliction with his good. Let me just end with this. One of the reasons I brought KP up is I wanted to share the story of the Karen people. They are an indigenous people there. And if you might know, in Myanmar, it's the longest civil war in all of history. 80 years. And they experience great pressure. War, poverty, natural disasters, displacement. But in particular, the Karen people, they face great persecution. One, because they're indigenous people, and all indigenous peoples, even in Canada, they experience persecution. And two, because they are Christians. They were the first people in Myanmar to receive the gospel of Jesus. And is that right, KP? Thank you. And they are overcoming by the grace of Jesus. And I just want to share a story. We're going to watch a video of, this is someone from, a Karen person, Semula. She immigrated from Thailand, actually. That's where the refugee camp was, to Hamilton. And God is using her and her family, even in their affliction. If you can play a video, MJ. I encourage you just
the first 3 years of my life, we heard about the fighting and the civil war and the Korean Revolution, and the place where we used to live, it was not safe. So my parents moved to a new village. We were running because they burned down our village and took away everything that we had. And at first we were hiding in the jungle for a few weeks, and then we knew that it was not safe. Within 13 years, my family and I, we moved to 5 different locations. Several times that the Burmese military crossed the border and they burned down the camp, and we were also on the run in refugee camps. So I used to live in constant fear in refugee camp, and it was like a prison to me because I was waiting for freedom, and I always wanted to go back to Burma, and I always wanted to have a life like a country where like I used to grow up and belong to. My father, he always had a heart for people, and he always wanted to help people who are in need. He wanted to go back to Burma to help people who were hiding in the jungle because they were hiding from the Burmese troops. He went there safely, but on his way, the Burmese troop came to that area when he was staying, and he was killed. It was very sad and very traumatic and very frustrating for myself because I was only 17 years old. I was I gave my life to God, said that, you know, you created me. I know that you could carry me through. I always say to people that God is good to me. And I was going through a lot of things. And when we were in Burma or in Thailand, we live in absolute poverty, but God carried us through. And here in Canada, we have abundant blessings that it's beyond our imagination. We can worship with our fear, and we can have fellowship with other Christians talking about our faith openly and freely, which is, you know, a blessing that we should never, take for granted.
Tamular is in Jesus. And she was carried by Jesus. Christ transforms pressure into endurance. Because of all that Samuel has gone through, her faith in God has carried her through. And after coming to Canada, she actually came to become a church and started a Bible study for people in her area. And at this time, her pastor had MS, and he had to retire early. But then God urged him to be part of the Bible study with Semula. And now, especially during COVID, their Bible study has increased exponentially because of God using them in their endurance. And Christ transforms our persecution into love. Semula's father was driven by the love of Christ that he went into the jungle to save people. And Semula, too, she is driven by the love of Christ and love for others. She says this, "The harvest is plentiful, and it's such a blessing that we share the gospel as Reformed churches with others, even in other parts of the world." And the pastor she works with, Reverend Van Popta, "God can take something which we really dislike, like war or even COVID, and use it for the good progress of the gospel. The Lord Jesus is on his throne." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are so good. Thank you that you are awesome and mighty. Thank you that no matter what happens, everything is under you as a sovereign king. Nothing surprises you. Thank you that even in our hardest moments, you are with us, transforming us to become like you, Jesus. One who endures, one who loves. And as we draw closer to you and rely on you more and more, may the whole world know that you, Jesus, are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that you are the only one in whom we have hope, peace, and strength and joy. We pray this in the name of our patient and loving Lord Jesus. Amen.